This is Mae Brussel, and the second half of World Watchers, it is, program number 800, and I'm talking about Reid Irvine and accuracy in media, and later today or next week I'll run down again. I did it very quickly and superficially, just get an idea of the kind of people putting money into the organization of Reid Irvine. I want to go into a little bit more detail about board of directors and the thinking of this organization. And keep in mind that Abraham Kalish of the United States Intelligence Agency went to Accuracy in Media and helped form this with Reid Irvine, who had been with the Federal Reserve for 25 years. So obviously business interests are involved. The United States Defense Department is involved in intelligence. In the book, The Politics of Lying, by David Weiss, the book's called Government Deception, Secrecy, and Power. David Weiss goes into the scandal of when the Pentagon Papers broke in 1972, and Senator McClellan of Arkansas wanted a proposal to make a criminal offense, a felony, if declassified information were printed like this. And Dean Acheson wrote and supported that idea that we should have the British Official Secret Act, which always had been appealed to the authoritarian, according to David Weiss, and that Acheson said we must prevent irresponsible or corrupt transfer of secret information from the government to publishers. So he was watching what was on the printed page a long time ago, Accuracy in Media. He didn't want the people in America or anywhere else in the world to know what our government was doing in Southeast Asia. We could pay for it and die for it, but we weren't supposed to know about it. And the point is that Dean Acheson, who was trying to get the British Official Secret Act, which can lock papers up for 50 years, enacted, was one of the founding members and boards of Accuracy in Media. There's a chapter in a book called Target America that I cited before because of their reference to the neutron bomb. And Reid Irvine wrote the introduction, and it's published by the CIA publisher Regnery. And this chapter is about AID, the agency that was set up for international development. It was really put into focus in 1949, a four-point program Harry Truman put into effect, but the AID was officially set up in 1961 with $2 billion, and it was very effective in working with torture and with setting up police departments. And in this chapter, it cites Dan Mitrione from Uruguay, who was described in the movie State of Siege. You remember that movie that came out in 1970 and the martial law that happened. And in this book, it says the principal message of State of Siege was that the United States had cooperated with the Uruguayan authorities in this tyrannical regime, with Dan Mitrione assisting them as a CIA agent under the AID cover. They worked together teaching the police methods of torture, and this was a principal theme used in communist propaganda, that the AID and the CIA were training torture. Not that we didn't do it, we did it, but the communists used it. And that was propaganda, because when you tell people that America's torturing overseas and they believe it, then they may turn against America. So the objection to movies isn't that the material is accurate, just as the objection to Hard Rain up on KFJC isn't the material is accurate, it's that people are listening. Now, the movie State of Siege, I didn't remember this, was made under Salvador Allende's regime in Chile. And you know what happened to Salvador Allende. But Reid Irvine, he wrote the introduction to this book and, of course, participated in the role of Target America, how the Soviet Union takes over America. They pick up stuff like the movie State of Siege, and that was of concern. Also, there's a chapter called The War Against the CIA. And this chapter in the same book, with the assistance of Reid Irvine in the introduction, refers to covert action, counter-spy, and the 10 magazines that are developed exclusively to the American intelligence system. But then they write in this book, the motion picture industry is also affected by the anti-CIA bias. At least five major movies in recent years have slandered the CIA, and one of them is Executive Action, written by the admitted communist, Dalton Trumbo, and based on a story by Mark Lane. Well, even an admitted communist like Dalton Trumbo can say there was a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy. That wouldn't make it not true. And What they objected to was all the president's men, which implies that Woodward and Bernstein might be in danger of being killed by the CIA, or 3 days of the Condor. Now, 3 days of the Condor is an operation which takes place in Colonia Dignidad, and when Eugene Hassan first landed in Nicaragua, he said he was part of the Condor operation. I want to put in the details of that, and that indeed goes back to the death squads of Jelly and Stefano Della Calle and Lopez Reagan, the names that I had on the air just a half hour ago in the same broadcast. They also objected to the movie Scorpio portraying the CIA as a villain, or Hopscotch, a comedy where Walter Matthau and Glenda Jackson were going to make these FBI and CIA look like blundering fools. Well, John Belushi, just prior to his death, was going to make Moon Over Miami, which made the cocaine traffic coming into Miami be not part of the notorious, obvious cocaine dealers, but the big traffickers with the FBI that were supposed to be investigating him. That was his next movie before he was killed in Los Angeles. So the movies are a threat, and movies on the assassination or the Condor are cited as examples, or all the president's men, the Watergate story, as being dangerous for the media and stuff that the Russians can pick up. But in the process of making these movies, Americans can get educated also. Now, at the end of during World War II, before the end of it, Dean Acheson, again, one of the founders and on the board of Accuracy in Media, worked close with Mr. Donovan and with the intelligence systems. And in the book Armies of Ignorance, a wonderful book written by William Corson, he tells about the role of Dean Acheson, and he had inside information during the war that our security was broken and that the Germans were picking up information that the British were fearful. They wanted to communicate to us about their lack of security, and Dean Acheson was very early into working with Mr. Wild Bill Donovan of the OSS on these matters, and Alan Dulles of the OSS, who was later on the Warren Commission. And in Armies of Ignorance, it says Secretary of State Burns decided that he would hand over the intelligence analysis capacity on a silver platter. And he directed Undersecretary of State Dean Acheson to take charge. And Acheson, in turn, asked Colonel Alfred McCormick, who during the war had been brought out of organizational chaos and surrounding analytical intelligence. He made sense out of it for the Army's G2. And so that people important to the war effort after the war were selected by Acheson on the board of Accuracy and Media later to work with the intelligence community to get the Cold War going again. This was as early as March 1946, and Acheson was working on that. He also, this book, he was also important in helping set up covert operations with the Office of Policy Coordination. And in December of 1968, there was a report on the OPC in the United States and the intelligence community that said that these operations had been taking place since 1948 or earlier. And then they went back to the history of the OPC, and it turned out that when Mr. Donovan and the others wanted an expert to help them advise them on how to set up the intelligence community, they had Secretary Marshall turn to Frank Wiesner, serving as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, and Marshall's choice was not without considerable irony. Wiesner was one of the moneyed New York legal establishments who worked in the OSS. He came from Laurel, Mississippi, and Wiesner was brought in by Dean Acheson. They asked Acheson about somebody to work as a person who would be good with the intelligence community. And according to this book, Armies of Ignorance, it was none other than Acheson on the board of the Accuracy and Media years later who brings in Wiesner. Now, if you read the Bolera Secret, you know what Wiesner did. He brought in the Nazis from Eastern Europe that played a major role in the murder of John Kennedy and the disinformation. But in this book, it says on page 307, in 1947, in response to the initiative of Undersecretary of State Dean Acheson, Wiesner was persuaded to return to government in a related intelligence assignment as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for occupied countries, and they sent him to the eastern part of Europe, where, and before that, for 2.5 months, he began to collect names of people that Wiesner would use, and Wiesner went to the campuses. And this was set up by Dean Acheson, and accuracy in academia is the sister of accuracy in media, watching the stations on the campuses and also the campuses. And it tells about the role of Wiesner going to Brown University and Reed and Harvard and going all over the country and setting up what they called the P team, the professors, and getting the professors into the campuses to advise which students would be good for the CIA that had been taken over from the OSS. This book, The Armies of Ignorance, says to meet his needs, Wiesner turned to the unofficial band of former OSS who went back to their jobs of academia and were recruited after the war to work with Wiesner. And he went to the various colleges, at Brown University and so forth, and set up the OPC-CIA. And, of course, Wiesner, with the Valera secret, brought in the Eastern European Russians. And the same man who helped found Accuracy in Media with Reed Irvine, Dean Acheson, was a kingpin in the Wiesner operation. And Wellesley Liebler of the Warren Commission was an attorney in the Liebler Law Office, and he handled all the white Russian czarists, as did Alan Dulles, the testimony of those people, and John J. McClure of the Warren Commission and of the Chase Manhattan Bank, who represents the Rockefellers, also was in charge of that area of the white Russians, and they were brought in for the disinformation of the entire Warren Commission hearings. So if the president of Foothill College wants any information about Dean Acheson and the effect that the founding of the Accuracy Media had and curtailing information to this day, trying to stop the information on the assassinations, the very people that worked with those agencies and agents involved in the murder and in the subsequent cover-up are related directly to Reed Irvine and Accuracy in Media. There's one other part of this book, Armies of Ignorance, on page 321 and 322, how the United States got into drug traffic in Laos, got into the opium traffic in the 60s, and let the guerrilla agencies work the opium fields, and we used our airplanes and supply aircraft for the opium profits. And it tells about a pilot, Jack Killam, who worked for the United States, who was involved with the opium flights. He was buried in Southeast Asia, and the Senate Select Committee at the time of Watergate, the Committee on Intelligence, learned that Jack Killam was shot in the head. He was buried by two CIA agents. His body was in an unmarked grave, and it was covered up for 26 years as part of the intelligence community opium connections, which go directly to the Contra Gators and going back from the opium trips there, then to the Bay of Pigs, and then back to Southeast Asia. And this book, The Armies of Ignorance, tells about just lightly trying to open up the investigation of the opium and the murder of the CIA agent in Southeast Asia. And at the time, neither Secretary of State Dean Acheson or General Marshall would consider, they didn't want to open up any Pandora's box, which, if it had been opened, would show the OPC's covert operations and activities, and they were willing to turn the responsibility over to somebody else. So the accuracy in media is not the accuracy of who shoots an American in the head or who buries him, or the opium traffic, or the things that have gone on that are so scandalous that keep surfacing. But Reed Irvine is head of an organization, again, set up by the Defense Intelligence Agency, himself a stockbroker, and many, many tentacles going back to those very agencies formed within hours of when World War II was over, that would control all the major corporations as a network. And in turn, they decide what commercials are on major television and can pull away the commercials if the wrong program is on, take off the wrong newscaster if the program doesn't suit their needs. Now, I mentioned last week I went to Who's Who. It's pretty old, but I didn't update what they're doing now, but I got a list of the people of accuracy in media, and I want to share some of those with you for just the remainder of the time and maybe next week. The summary of these people is, I told you, many of them, several from the Knights of Malta are on the board, William Simon and Claire Luce, four from the Rockefeller Center, Rockefeller Foundation that got early money or assistance, and one is president of the Rockefeller University, people from the intelligence community, two from Hungary, Eugene Wigner and Edward Teller, and so forth. Let me give you some of the people on the board of Accuracy and Media on the stationery right now. Shelby Cullum Davis from the well-known Cullum family in Texas. Honorable Davis Shelby Cullum, former ambassador to Switzerland, Bern, Switzerland, 1969 to 1975. Those were the times when Nixon was inaugurated until Ford was out of office. Bern, Switzerland was a location of the OSS offices with Heinrich Himmler, Operation Sunrise, and the network of the Nazis that were to go to South America and to this country. Shelby Cullum, Mr. Shelby Cullum Davis is an investment banker, graduate of Princeton and Columbia University, a degree in political science, associated with Columbia Broadcasting, treasurer of the Delaware Fund, economic advisor to Tom Dewey, who ran with Earl Warren as president and vice president. He ran his campaign. He's chairman of the History Council of Princeton. He's on the board of accuracy in media. He lives in New York. Author of a book, Your Career in Defense. So he doesn't mean manual arts and karate. He means Defense Department. Dr. Thomas A. Jukes is on, J-U-K-E-S, is on the board of accuracy in media. A professor of medicine and physics at the University of California out here on the West Coast. And maybe this has influence on the Pacifica station. There's several out here from Berkeley that have a lot of influence. Biologist, chemist, born in England, naturalized in 1939. He's the director of nutrition and physiology. He's on the board of American Cyanamide. He's in charge of biochemistry. He graduated from Princeton and studied research there. And he works with Space Sciences Lab at University of California in Berkeley. He's involved in nutritional science, UCB National Advisory Board of the Accuracy in Media, since 1976, living in Berkeley, and he's a member of the editorial board on biochemistry and genetics and other journals. Midge Dechter, a writer from the University of Minnesota, she graduated there, also attended the Jewish Theological Seminary for 2 years, married to the conservative publisher Norman Potthart. She's the mother-in-law of Elliot Abrams, who has access to Middle East and Brunei funds when the Congress says you can't have them for the Contras. She's assistant editor of commentary with her husband. She was editor of the Hudson Institute. I believe that's Mr. Kahn of the atomic bombs. She helped write for CB Legacy Books, which is a media outlet, executive director of Harper's Magazine, and she's the director of Heritage Foundation, close to the Nixon administration and the powers that be in Washington. Harry Gervey Sagerman is an investment executive from New York City, attended Princeton. He's with Dominic and Dominic, a New York international investment firm specialist, capitalist research. He works with the Japan Fund in New York City. He's vice president of Fidelity Management and Research in Boston, vice chairman of Fidelity Pacific Fund in South America. He served with the Huxley Institute of Biosocial Research, which I thought was rather interesting, with investments in South America and Japan, the Huxley Institute of Biosocial Research. Carl Robin Bendestein, B-E-N-D-E-S-T-S-E-N, corporate executive, attended Stanford, was admitted to the California, Ohio, Washington Bar and the Supreme Court, counsel to the Defense Department since 1948, director of U.S. Railroads, chairman of the Panama Canal Commission, 1950 to 1954, and counsel of the Champion Paper Company. He's a president, chairman, president of the Champion Paper Company, international chairman of Westinghouse Electric. He was U.S. ambassador to Germany in 1956, vice president of the Defense Manpower Commission. He served in the U.S. Army from 40 to 46, a special representative to the Secretary of the War, General Douglas MacArthur. There's a lot of scientists and military involved on the board of directors of the stationary of accuracy in media. Dr. Eugene Paul Wigner, let me just finish Carl Robin Bendenstein. There's more on him. He was director of the evacuation of Japanese from the West Coast in 1942 to be put in the concentration camps. That was actually run under California Governor Earl Warren, who again ran with Tom Dewey, the man, another member of accuracy and media board, Shelby Cullum Davis, ran the campaign of Dewey. Carl Bendenstein was in charge of the evacuation with John J. McCloy, who ends up on the Warren Commission and who also released all the top Nazis in Germany as soon as he had a position with that government after the war. Carl Benenson has 10 or more military decorations, the Oak Leaf, the Bronze Star. I won't list them all. He has the Medal of Freedom, and he's a member of the Bohemian Club, the Houston Petroleum Club. His home base is Washington, D.C. Dr. Eugene Paul Wigner, many of you know his name. He came over from Hungary in 1937, naturalized in 1937, came to the U.S. in 1930, taught at the University of Wisconsin in 1949. He was a chemist and an engineer in Berlin, Germany. It's interesting that he was at the University of Wisconsin because out of Wisconsin in 1946 was a young Marine who then went to the Senate known as Senator Joe McCarthy. And you remember there were two people from Wisconsin that practically ran that state at the time, Frank Sessenbrunner and Walter Harnischweiger. If you can't remember the names, I wrote about them in my article on the Korean Airline and Larry McDonald and Western Goals. From 1947 to 1949 is when these men, Senator Joe McCarthy and Sessenbrunner and Harnischweiger, were instrumental in getting the release of S.S. Fritz Kramer, prisoner number 33 from Dachau prison. All coincidence that Wigner was teaching at the University of Wisconsin at this time when two of the most powerful people and wealthy people with big corporations in Wisconsin were instrumental in getting Fritz Kramer, prisoner 33, out of Dachau. And remember, Fritz Kramer shares offices with the notorious Daniel Graham, who heads High Frontier, and Paul Wigner is one of the men behind and pushing Star Wars with Edward Teller, who's also on the board of Accuracy and Media. Now, Sessenbrunner and Harnischweiger were both close to Adolf Hitler, to his ideology. One used to carry an autographed Mein Kampf around, I understand. And all of a sudden, the man released by Joe McCarthy disappears from the history books. Another Fritz Kramer with the same name and monocle and German accent, the same age, shows up in the War Department running the as plans officer of the Pentagon, labor over Mr. General Westmoreland, not called Mr. General Westmoreland, in Southeast Asia and Vietnam. So what he was doing is a coincidence. Following the career of Wigner later on, it wouldn't be anything just to be teaching us when Wisconsin. But how much does this overlap when Wigner is very close to and on the board of Western Goals? And he also is close to Reverend Moon. He's one of the directors of Reverend Moon's church. And Moon was brought over to this country by Sven Kramer and the intelligence community. The KCIA and the CIA are the same. And Moon was brought over here by the son of the Fritz Kramer in the War Department. And how close was this release of the Fritz Kramer, or was it coincidental? Wigner was at Caltech. He was at the University of Chicago, Colby College, University of Pennsylvania, Thule College. And interestingly enough, the two men that were brought over from Hungary that are absolutely important to the Star Wars concept, run the world and have a first strike offensive and you win the world, both of them are on the board of Accuracy and Media, and both of them have biographies that would be almost impossible to keep up. I think I once mentioned this a long time ago on a program, the Who's Who. This is where they were teaching. As I say, believe this. I mean, these must be papers or bona fides, or they breezed into these towns and left. They couldn't do very much in their lifetime and do all the scientific work of making the hydrogen bomb or connecting up with Reverend Moon later in life, which is interesting considering how they wandered. Wigner was, let me repeat again, at Caltech in California, University of Chicago, Colby U, the University of Pennsylvania, Thiel College, Notre Dame, went back to the Berlin Institute in 1966, was in Swarthmore College in the United States in 1966, returned here, University of Belgium in 1967, Catholic University in 1976, Rockefeller University in 1970, the Israeli Institute of Technology in 1973, Lowell U, 1976, was a Nobel laureate and was at the Rockefeller University in 1970. He's from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, a member of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and not in Who's Who in his bio, of course, is Accuracy and Media and on the board of Western Goals. Now, Lewis William Walt is on the board of Accuracy and Media. He's a Marine Corps officer who got a BA in chemistry. He was a Grand Marine, went to the Grand Marine School, the National War College, as did Ollie North. He advanced to a general in China, in the Marines, and in Guam and the Solomon Islands. In 1956 to 57, he headed the detail for Marine Personnel Department, which would be hiring Marines. He was in charge of that 1956 to 57. And he was Assistant Director of Personnel from 57 to 59. Now, Lee Harvey Oswald was in the Marines in this time period. He was at Subic Base. He was in Japan and the Philippines. He left in 1959, and this Lewis William Walt, who ran the personnel, the Marine Personnel Department, was there when Oswald went into the Marines. It was 1957 through 59, and then he leaves in 59 and goes to the Soviet Union and arrives in the Moscow, where he meets five identifiable persons of the intelligence community of the CIA when he arrives there. And Oswald was in Office of Navy Intelligence through the Marines, worked at a radio factory at Minsk with Alexander Zeiger from the Argentine, and of course Gary Powers before his fatal plane crash when he ran out of gasoline fairly near Santa Barbara, believed that Oswald had a role in helping down the U-2. So he became, then this Lewis William Hall, he's a Marine Corps officer, he became representative to the Joint Chief of Staff from 1960 to 61, military assistant to the command of Vietnam, 1965 and 67, where he would be over the likes of Oliver North and a lot of the Contra Gators, the Special Forces in Southeast Asia, and he was director of the U.S. Senate investigation of international narcotics traffic in 1972, which was very interesting because the investigation of narcotics in 1972 under Richard Nixon with the likes of G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt and Egil Krogh and that gang of gangsters were not stopping narcotics. They were involved in the flow of narcotics. So these people have very interesting backgrounds, and this is just touching a little bit of the resource of the board of directors and the things they could know or work with in the time periods where they were located. And the escalation of narcotics began in 1972. That's when the cocaine colonels were in operation, when Klaus Barbie was escalating, when the Nguyen Bank was beginning to fill up with the narcotics traffic of the Marines. In the early 70s, Francis J. Nguyen from Australia was working with Thomas Kleins of the CIA, General Richard Secord, Mr. Chi-Chi Quintero with Air America, with the Marines, and the Green Berets and so forth, and the Laotian poppy growers that were putting their money into the Nguyen Bank. All of this escalating in these periods of 72, and he was director of the Senate investigation, being a Marine when the Marines were absolutely tied up then and still are in current information that you see. Now, I probably only have time for Edward Teller. I've got some more board of directors, but I think you'll agree they're pretty interesting, and I'll continue with a few of them next week to see who's on accuracy in media and some connections. Edward Teller, a lot of you know, was naturalized in 1941. He came over here from Hungary. He was born in Budapest, like Eugene Wigner, the same birthplace. Two men are both on accuracy in media. Both men are on the goal on the board of Western Goals. And Western Goals, as soon as Larry MacDonald was killed, moved its full headquarters, I suppose the full headquarters, to Washington, D.C., to the offices of Mr. Channel, Carl Spitz Channel. And you'll be hearing more about Western Goals and Oliver North and Albert Hakim and General Secord, those very people from the Southeast Asia group, as the Contragate story unfolds. He was a student in Germany, 1926 to 28, in Munich, 28 to 29, Leipzig in 1930. And then Teller's biography is like Wigner's. I don't know what it means. Department of Science in Yale, 1959 in Alaska, 1960 at Fordham University, 1960 George Washington University, 1960 University of Southern California, St. Louis, Missouri in 60. Now, all the time he was working with Los Alamos and Lawrence Livermore Lab. So he was giving, short courses, three-day courses, four-day courses. He was at Rochester Institute, Boston University, Seattle University, Cincinnati U, University of Pittsburgh, Pepperdine College, University of Detroit, University of Clemson, Clarkson College, back to Heidelberg, Germany in 1977, and St. Mary's College in 1964. He was research assistant in Leipzig, Germany in 1921 to 31, 10 years under the auspices of the Rockefeller Fellow, it was called, the Foundation or the Money, in Copenhagen, Denmark in 1934, the University of London in 1934. He was a professor of physics at the George Washington University. 1943 to 46, when he's working on atomic and hydrogen bombs, and he was an engineer, Manhattan engineer, for the early projects put together at the University of Chicago, 1942-43. I have to stop because time is running out, and I want you to get a little more vignette of accuracy in media. The names that he has just on the letterhead, on the left side of the letterhead, who these people are, besides who put money into it, the military, intelligence, defense, Star Wars people, and why the newspapers and the colleges are so void of information available to people comes going way back to the not Wild Bill Donovan days and the OSS, to Frank Wiesner, to Dean Acheson, to Reed Irvine. There's a connecting link of these people. I'll be back next week to continue with some more board of directors and update some other Congregate news, but this is very basic to curtailing our freedoms on the radio and at college campuses. This is Mae Brussel. Keep sending envelopes. I'll give you the sources of information so you can follow this with me.